like to say good evening to everyone. I have been tasked with the topic of answering the question, what is the church? And I'm supposed to answer that in 5 to 7 minutes. So we're going to try to keep it pushing. But this month we've been talking about or asking those fundamental questions to help us not forget the simple things. What is salvation? What is the gospel? What is holiness? And tonight we're going to be talking, answering that question about what is the church. Now, the church was prophesied way back in the Old Testament. You can look at Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 will have the same language as Isaiah chapter 2. And also, too, Daniel chapter 2. Verses 44. So something about, I guess, chapter 2s when it comes to the kingdom that was coming. But we're going to look at 5 quick points. Y'all just be calm. 5 quick points. And that to help us and not forget some things. So first thing is first. When it comes to the church, God does the adding to the church. We must know that first. We must know also, too, that the gospel is for everybody. This will eliminate racism. And I'm a strong believer that when you go to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, it reads, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So the gospel is to go everywhere and to everybody, no matter how much you got in your bank, no matter how much what you look like, what your color is, what your it doesn't matter. The gospel goes to everybody. Now, if the Lord wanted a divided nation, he would have put that in there right then and there. He would have said, go into the white neighborhoods, the black neighborhoods, go into all the nations. So we cannot forget that. Over in Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, notice verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, no man, preacher, organization decided who would belong to the church. But as we realize that the Lord added to the church daily, and he's still doing that today. That also means that the church is not a man-made institution, but a divine body created and arranged by God. And we got to realize that when we obey the gospel, when we hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, we become part of the body, of a family, of a church. Now, that's going to lead me to my next point. The church is not a building. The church is not a building. If God wanted a church to be a building, he would have specified that in the Bible. Just like he told Noah the specifics of the ark. But we know that the church is not the walls, the pews, or a pulpit. But in the scripture, the church is the people, God saved ones. And we can't forget that. In Acts 2, as you go back, the added were those who had just obeyed the gospel. They weren't joining a social club. They weren't signing up for a group. They were becoming part of something eternal, and that's the body of Christ. Point number three. And sometimes in this life, we get so busy, and sometimes we just forget how precious the church is. Sometimes we just forget how precious we really are. Sometimes we start treating it casually. Sometimes we treat it like it's optional, something that we can take for granted, take it or leave it. But we got to remember that the church is where God put you. It's where he put you at. It's where we gathered. It's where he gathers the saved. It's where you grow and where you serve and where you stay connected to Christ. And we have a beautiful family here at Ninth and Main. And it's amazing how when services is over, we sit here. Some of y'all sit here. Well, I guess I'm including that. To 8:30, 9 o'clock, just conversating it up. That's a beautiful thing when God's people can do that. So we can't forget where we belong. Point number four. Now, the blessings of belonging. Don't y'all know we got blessings being a part of a church family? We got some blessings being a part of the church family. You look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, when it comes to the fellowship. You have fellowship with God and his people. But it says over there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light that he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Don't you guys also know that we have a purpose? We have a purpose of serving in the body, Romans 12, 4 through 5. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. I know that the elders are really going to be pushing that out in the next couple of months, about all of us doing our part and having those different functions. I tried to talk to Daniel about security team. He said, I'm not qualified because I can't shoot, and I'm a little iffy about all of that. So I'm already disqualified, so I can find something else to do. But you also have hope. You also have hope as well. As part of the bride of Christ that will be presented spotless and glorious, over there in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 27. And that says over there, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Now, the world may not understand that. They might not understand the value of the church, but heaven does. Heaven understands it. The church is God's masterpiece, purchased with his own blood. And last but not least, a loving reminder. If you ever feel discouraged, disconnected, or tempted to give up, remember this truth, that God placed you in his church because you belong here. You belong here. Let's go over and look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You guys know where we're going. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll pick up at verses 9. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll pick up at verse 9. And it reads, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have to realize that we must act like the church. We must speak like the church. We must walk like the church. If we're going to talk the talk, then we got to walk the walk as well. He didn't save you to walk alone, though. We got to realize that. He didn't save us to walk alone. He saved us to walk with his people, to worship with his people, and also to grow with his people. We have to remember those things as we live this rough life, because it can be rough sometimes, and we can be discouraged, but that's why we have the church. God left us everything that we needed to be successful on this earth, not only for his earth, but also for the kingdom. So as I get ready to close, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. We have salvation. We got something to look forward to, but there's so much going on around us that sometimes we take that helmet of salvation off and we give it away for chump change. Sometimes we give it away for our family members. Sometimes we give it away for fame. Sometimes we give it away for money in the bank. Be smart about it. Don't let nobody take that salvation from you. If you've already been baptized, just stay put. When I go back home and preach, I always leave them with these three words or these three statements: don't give up, don't give in, and don't give out. Those three things: don't give up, don't give in, and don't give out. No matter what you go through in life, no matter what you face in life, don't give up, don't give in, and don't give out. Because the moment that you take the helmet of salvation off, there ain't no guarantee that you're going to be able to get it back. So just remember that. And just remember that you're part of the saved. You're saved, so just stay put. Stay where you're at, and continue to lean on one another. Continue to lean on our brothers and sisters for help, for guidance. It's a great thing when you can come to this congregation and you can lean on one another. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to end it there. So maybe you are not a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have not made that decision, or you have been studying to try to make that decision to become a member of the body of Jesus Christ. You do that by hearing his word, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And once again, the Lord will add you to his church. And maybe you are a member of the body of Jesus Christ and you really haven't been taking advantage of the benefits of being a part of the church. Well, start taking advantage today.